Welcome to Room 33. I'm Carl Troutman, your host. Thanks for joining me. In September of last year, I did a podcast on energy and risk and change in Japan. The context was the aftermath of the meltdowns at the Fukushima nuclear power plant. So let's update the story. There is a great deal of water at the plant that is, to say the least, not pure. How much radioactive water is there? 90 million tons. There is toxic water flowing into the Pacific Ocean, some 400 million tons every day. Now, some recent news is disturbing. Heavy rains have caused a great deal of radioactive water to leak. What was in the water? Strontium-90. Okay, what is strontium-90? According to Merriam-Webster, it is, quote, a heavy radioactive isotope of strontium of mass number 90 that has a half-life of 29 years, that is present in nuclear waste and fallout, and that is hazardous because, like calcium, it can be assimilated in biological processes and deposited in the bones of human beings and animals, end quote. So this is not good. Now, why is there so much water that is contaminated? Well, those nuclear reactors need to be cooled. Water is being used for that. But what do you do with the water afterwards? Store it. How? Storage tanks. But there's lots of contamination, including groundwater. Essentially, the buildings and the reactor needs to be sealed from the flow of groundwater. Over 2 years ago, there was a request to construct a wall, which would have gone 100 feet under the ground, but that would have been expensive, to the tune of $1 billion. But there were fears of bankruptcy by the owners of the plant, Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, so it was never built. Now, the problems are enormous, but a fundamental one is this. Where does the contaminated water go in the end? Shinuki Tanaka, the chairman of Japan's nuclear watchdog, realizes this. These are his words. They're going to have to release the water eventually. No ands, ifs, or buts about it, in my view. But how they get there is a huge societal problem, not just for TEPCO, but for Japan. Okay, why doesn't the national government just be upfront and honest about it and admit that the best way forward might just be to lower the radiation levels and dump water into the ocean? Well, the NIMBY, or not in my backyard principle, makes this really difficult. Local governments are opposed, and so are the members of the country's National Federation of Fisheries Cooperative Associations. Now, TEPCO is also a problem. As time passes, they're revealing their incompetency in properly cleaning up the situation. Perhaps they're simply unable to. Too complicated, too expensive, and too politically risky. Tell that to the more than 90,000 people who can't go home because of the catastrophe. Let's add one more complication. All of Japan's nuclear power plants are still not operating. A majority of the Japanese do not support nuclear power. Well, with the trauma of March 2011, can you blame them? So what is the future for energy in Japan? It could include wind power from floating turbines in deep water. Japan is investing in this, and that is exciting. But alas, the tough part is to deal with the messy energy reality of the present. Remember that my latest book, The Underdog in American Politics, is now an audiobook. It is available on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. There are links to it on my homepage, carltroutman.com. And be sure to follow me on Twitter. I'm at redhead324. Thanks for listening. This is Carl Troutman, and you're in Room 33.